for KMBA News, I'm Tripp Krause. In Washington State Supreme Court, an Alaska Native tribe and others are challenging a decision in a child custody case. Authorities removed two young boys from their parents' custody and placed them in protective care. I talk with Crosscut's Benola Sakaita about her report on how a judge's decision in the case circumvented the Indian Child Welfare Act and what that judgment could mean if it's upheld. According to court documents, in June of 2018, authorities took two young brothers from a Washington home and put them into protective custody. In the report, the police cite, quote, concerns of neglect or unsanitary living conditions, end quote. At the time, Zachariah was just 21 months old, and Michael was just 2 months old. That sparked a legal battle led largely by the parents fighting for custody of their children, an Alaska-based federally recognized tribe, and tribal advocates. I'm talking with Manola Sakaita, who reports for Crosscut, a public media website that covers the state of Washington. Manola, who are the parents, and can you tell us a little bit about them and where they're from?
Scott Greer, the father, grew up on the Umatilla Indian Reservation, which sits mostly in Oregon, but also partially in Washington state. And Greer told me a little bit about growing up close to his native culture, which included learning a lot of traditions from some of his relatives, like making bows and arrowheads, and even learning to fish by hand. Lindsey Graham, who's the mother, grew up in Alaska, and she told me that she had a similar upbringing. Her mom is a member of the Central Council of the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska, and her mom taught her a variety of things, like how to make beaded blankets. So for both Greer and Graham, learning that and learning those traditions was really, really important for them. And the two are now engaged and live together in Auburn.
If both of them come from Native communities, it seems reasonable that the Indian Child Welfare Act, or ICWA, would apply here. Can you explain what ICWA is and if there are similar state-based laws in Washington?
So ICWA was passed in 1978 as a response to some issues that were happening for decades before, which were basically that Native children in the U.S. were being placed outside their homes and communities pretty frequently. And according to testimony before Congress at the time, that happened even in cases when there were fit and willing family members available to take those kids in. And as a result, these kids were often forced to assimilate with white, European-centric culture, and just basically, in many ways, removed from their native cultures that they had grown up in. When ICWA was created, it made a variety of protections for Native kids. So it's not just one thing, but one of its main tenets is this, that qualifying Native kids can't be placed in foster care without first looping in their tribes or tribe, whoever's relevant in their case. The law also requires that these kids be placed with family members, which could be, you know, a cousin or an uncle or a grandma, whenever possible, just emphasizing that placement and, you know, thereby keeping them connected to their cultures. Some states have their own version of ICWA, and Washington is the same, but basically that just provides some further definition to ICWA, which is the federal law.
Why wasn't that applied here? Why didn't that happen, and how has that impacted the family?
Yeah, so for ICWA to apply at all, a court first has to find what's called a reason to know, which basically is something that suggests a link to a tribe. And through that reason to know, what they're trying to find is if that child is legally Indian, which is the legal term that indicates whether a person is Alaska Native or American Indian or both. And once they find that out, they reach out to relevant tribes in order to find more information about that potential relationship. So reason to know basically just is the instigating factor for a court to explore that relationship a little bit more. So it doesn't have to be definitive. But the problem with that is that reason to know isn't always, hasn't always been consistently interpreted. And so the definition has been a little bit elusive sometimes for courts. And in this case, both parents, Greer and Graham, told the court that they had some sort of Native heritage. Court documents show that Greer talked about his ties with the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla, and Graham mentioned, you know, potential membership with the Tlingit and Haida, the tribe in Southeast Alaska. But yeah, so both mentioned this potential relationship.
But the judge ruled that there wasn't enough reason to know that the children were Native under the law, and so ICWA wasn't applied in this case?
Mm-hmm. And that was, of course, the big issue here. I talked with Catherine Fort, who's the director of Michigan State's Indian Law Clinic, and who's arguing on behalf of the tribes in the case involving Greer and Graham. And she told me a little bit about that too.
Yeah. We're not saying, I'm not even saying in this argument that notice had to be sent before the 72-hour hearing. What we're asking is that based on the testimony at that hearing, that the tribe receive formal notice so they can start participating in the case. This is also a scenario where this isn't a legal argument so much, but, you know, to find no reason to know there are Indian children involved when you're literally looking at Indian people in the courtroom, it just kind of defies reality, right? Like, it makes no sense. This is not a close call. This case is not a close case.
And so months later, the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska successfully intervened. The tribe explained that even though Graham didn't know it, she had been Tlingit and Haida her whole life. Upon the intervention of the tribal advocates, the Indian Child Welfare Act was then applied to this case. But the damage was done. The state placed the children in foster care without the normal protections that ICWA would offer them.
Now the Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska are challenging the decision in Washington State Supreme Court. During a June 26th hearing before the Washington Supreme Court, an attorney for Washington's Department of Children, Youth, and Families, which is arguing in favor of the original decision, said the issue was with Greer and Graham's description of their tribal affiliation. What he argued was that the parents indicated potential heritage or ancestry, which would be enough to suggest that they had Native blood. But he said it did not indicate a political affiliation with the tribes, which is what ICWA requires in order to apply. That was a huge sticking point for Madeline Sibilov-Levy, who's an attorney representing Tlingit and Haida in this case.
You're asking the very people ICWA was designed to protect to come up with magic words to get ICWA to apply.
If upheld, family and tribal advocates say that the court's decision could significantly weaken the use of ICWA in Washington and possibly set a precedent for other states by raising the bar for what qualifies as reason to know that a child is Native in the eyes of the law. Maintaining a family's cultural connection can have far-reaching benefits, which is why this case is so important to the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska, as well as other tribes across the continent.
A tribe's very existence is dependent on having future citizens, and the tribe's existence as a cultural entity and a sovereign government depends on those citizens having connections with their community and having a sense of who they are. I mean, you see that kind of thing happen in any form of government where citizens need to feel some connection with their government in order to care enough to vote, to participate in elections.
Even though the status of Michael and Zachariah's Native children was proven a month after the first hearing, the boys stayed in foster care for almost a year. In May of 2019, they were placed with their grandmother, where they remain today. Greer and Graham continue to work toward moving the children back home with them.
Greer wonders whether his kids' lives would have been different if they were placed with his grandma first. That, he says, would have been a huge improvement from his perspective. Greer had only just begun talking about crafting bows and other traditions with his older son, Zachariah, who's now 3 years old, before he was placed in foster care. He wants to continue those conversations about those traditions with Zachariah now, but he also says that foster care has changed their relationship.
What killed her and me was knowing that he couldn't go even 10 minutes without his mom and dad, unless he was with grandma. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of strangers come and take him away. And then he's placed with these strangers, and then there's no existence of his family anymore. No, anybody or anybody he knows. When it was time for him to go, even still to this day, he screams and fights that he doesn't want to go. And we have to make our baby go every time.
Attorneys expect a decision in the case within the next few months. For Crosscut in Seattle, I'm Manola Cicada.
And for KMBA in Anchorage, I'm Trip Krause.